That's hockey, baby.
That's hockey, baby.
Hey,
folks, that's hockey. What's hockey? Well, it's when
that
you...
That pass right there that I just announced. That was hockey. As opposed to soccer.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James Tapeleg Grayling and I will break down the 8 games since our last show. We'll celebrate Milan Hajduk's 1,000th game as an Avalanche. We'll discuss bad kicks and good non-calls, and who's tough and who's not. And we'll also describe David Jones as being pretty clutch. Those topics and a ton more Avalanche and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 77 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. Here once again, not once again, as always.
I guess as always, yeah.
My man, James Tapeleg Grayling.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, James.
Hi there.
How are you? How's it going?
Oh, man, like you read about on a podcast that uses words.
Awesome.
That means good. That means I'm doing great.
That would have been simpler if you just would have said that.
Okay.
All right. This is episode number 77 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
Keeping it simple edition.
I don't think we really like have any significant 77s in Avalanche history. So
77. Did anybody wear it? We had 66. That was Mario Lemieux. Right? Mm-hmm. We had 99.
Good times.
Uh-huh. We saw his jersey at the Pepsi Center the other day.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 99 jersey there, but it was not a Gretzky jersey. Yeah.
There was a 23 Avalanche jersey that said Avalanche on the name bar.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Missed that
you one. Didn't see that one?
We had a 33,
44, like Jordan Leopold, mm-hmm. based Battaglia.
Number 11, that was...
Chris Dingman.
Mm.
Jonesy.
I was thinking of Jordan Staal.
He was good too. Mark Messier. When Mark Messier.
You remember him? You remember that guy?
And there was 87. If you want to go double plus one.
Double plus, really?
Minus one.
Okay, use your math. That's double plus one minus two.
Pierre Turgeon.
But 77s.
No. Should we just get into the game?
Let's just talk about. Wait a minute. Hang on a second.
Wait.
Let me Google this.
Let's check our phone. Wait. Let me get to Wikipedia.
20.
After 22 years.
Raymond Borg. Yep.
Go to Wikipedia or something. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. There's still a few people that are a little upset that his number was
retired
with the Avalanche. He played like 100 something games.
People that were upset that he left the Bruins or was traded from the Bruins to go win a cup. But here's the point. There's people upset about things everywhere.
Absolutely everything. So Ray
Bork, I'm so not worried about like whether or not some Bruins fan that you know, but even the Bruins fans in general.
Oh, most of them are like,
welcome back. He brought the cup back. He's like, hey, look at this. You know, the Bruins were never going to spend the money. They were cheapening out. And what are you going to do? How much loyalty do you have to show? How much, you know, I want to win a Stanley Cup. You've wanted this in childhood. How much loyalty do you have to show to a team that's never going to do anything with you?
It's kind of like a Peyton Manning situation in the NFL for those people that know the NFL. But they gave him a really nice send-off in Indy. It was just, mm-hmm. you know, they got the number one pick, took Andrew Luck, and just had to kind of move on. And, yeah, that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But there's situations where guys go out with class and,
yeah.
you know, they leave their old team with class and then they do great stuff.
There's a reason there's a reason Penguins fans do not like Jaromír Jágr. And it was because of the way he left. And that's not the case with Bork. Bork left in a very classy way,
mm-hmm.
brought the cup back, said, hey, won this, really loved playing with you guys.
After 22 years.
After 3 1/4 years, Christopher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's
that
the thing that really, obviously it's the cup win that cements Raymond Bork, but what was the big thing with Joe Sakic? It was that when he was handed the cup, We picked up mm-hmm. the cup from the table. He didn't even lift it. He just handed it straight to
mm-hmm.
and to Raymond Bork. And that was the big thing that everybody remembered from when he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's one of the coolest moments in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says.
At every commercial, mm-hmm. like for that has the cup in it and people lifting the cup, it has that moment. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, people mention it. They notice. They it feels weird.
Well, and there was a cool story about Joe talking to Raymond Bork before that happened, and Ray mm-hmm. was really worried about a jinx or whatever, but I think Joe had that in his head, but he never shared it with anybody because Ray Bork wouldn't listen to the plan. He says, how am I going to get the cup to you? And how about, I don't think anybody would have predicted that. Mm-hmm. How about I don't lift it and I'll just hand it to you?
Game 7. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in Game 7. You know, that was a couple of years later. I was at Game 7, Devils, Ducks,
mm-hmm.
a goaltender duel, and Brodeur pitches the shutout. You just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the coolest moments in not only hockey, but sports history. And after 22 years, Raymond Bork.
Raymond Bork.
The Raymond Bork edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
Which means that we have to be really good this time. The pressure's
really
on.
Good.
The pressure is on.
Because, yeah.
We got a lot of feedback on our last episode that said, hey, good job, guys. And now we're feeling the pressure. A little nerves.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm lying.
I'm kind of nerves. I'm kind of shaky. Yes.
It's been eight games.
Eight games since our last show. I didn't really do the math as far as how they've done exactly since our last show.
We just saw your last how your math worked out. That's okay. You mm-hmm. didn't have to.
So it's probably better if I don't do math. But we can just kind of get into the games, and we got a couple other things to talk at you about. I got a little cold, so if I cough in your ear hole, I will apologize in advance. And I have my mute button, too.
Stick your cold in the ear hole. That's weird. That's kind of
cold
nasty.
In my ear hole. Okay. Yes.
Germs.
Monday, March.
You have to wipe down that microphone when you're done with it.
He's had to do that a couple times. Monday, February 4th, the Avalanche lose 3-2 to the Stars, the Jamie Benn's show.
Mm.
Scores two out of the throws, three goals. But the big story for the Avalanche in that game, Milan Hayduk plays in his 1,000th career game with the Avs, according to a cool little article the Avalanche had on their site, and NHL.com had some things as well. The 281st player all-time, the 95-year history of the league, to play in 1,000 games. But the cooler part is he's the 30th player ever to do it with one team. So, retire 23? Yes?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. He's had a great career. Still kind of going.
There's only four retired numbers up there. You might as well. There's going to be six. There's going to be six. Because Foot's
52
go.
As well. Yeah. You think? Why probably not? opening night next year?
Maybe.
I think if they were going to do it this year, they would have already said so.
He's still around town, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I, think he I don't the see Suns why not.
Team. Yeah. So, yeah, 52 as well. So, congratulations, 23. I will post the Avalanche tribute that they had before the game for the cool little video tribute.
Mm-hmm. How cool is it they put things like that online that we get a chance to see them and not just, you know, I love the internet.
They put it on the YouTube.
I love the internet. I got my Kindle
this week.
I lost my Kindle. Did. Some of you saw on Twitter that I mentioned this because on Twitter I'm tape leg, TAPELEG. Mm-hmm. And I lost my Kindle and I realized it at work. I was like, ah, oh, man, what the hell? And I put on Twitter, great, I lost my Kindle. And not half an hour later, some guy sends back, hey, I have your Kindle. And just, you know, let me know and I'll get it back to you.
That's
and
awesome.
Sure enough, that night, you know, we met up and all that. So thanks a lot to Josh. Really appreciate it.
That's really cool.
That was way cool. Could have gone worse. So to find somebody's Kindle, you know, just look at the settings page. They'll find their name. The dude Googled me, sent me a message on Facebook, then on Twitter.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Okay. So anyways, that's my story.
Thank
Sorry.
You. Thank you, internet. All right. So there was that game and, you know, I don't know. I didn't have a whole lot to say about that one or the next game.
You know, I don't remember if I actually watched. That's the thing. It was such a non-memorable
That's how exciting
game
it was. Yeah. Yeah. It really was. You can kind of see it coming. Wednesday, February 6th, the Avalanche also lose 3-0 to the Ducks. They didn't have much going. This was kind of Landeskog hangover. What are we going to do? And
mm-hmm.
it was kind of ugly. So,
well, if the Blackhawks right now weren't the Blackhawks, the Ducks would be.
Yes.
I mean, the how they're – it's amazing how well they're doing. And everybody just keeps kicking the Capitals for letting Boudreau go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Capitals just won a game, so now they are not last place overall.
Sometimes you need a switch.
Yep.
They needed a switch, and they got it, and they're playing great.
Yep.
Good
but,
for them.
Man, Bruce Boudreau.
You're messing with my math skills. You can't even talk.
What? You got to wait until he's taking a drink of water to stuff like that. Bruce Boudreau is really, I mean, Coach of the Year candidate right now.
There's a lot of them. I saw a long list of Coach of the Year candidates. Yeah. There's like six or seven of them right now.
If
Joe Sacco, by the way, not on that list, just to clarify.
Really?
Yeah, just to clarify.
He was once.
I know you're shocked. He was.
For a moment.
I'm not quite sure how much time that bought him. But
then they should have fired him. Chicago's 14-0-3 right now as we record this.
That's pretty good.
Anaheim's 12-2-1, and everybody would be freaking out about Anaheim.
No one even talks about him. Yeah.
Nope.
Way to go, Blackhawks.
Both of those are better than Montreal, who's number one in the East. I'm barely even paying attention to the East this year.
Well, it's hard to because the Avalanche will never play anybody there. So
that's true. And also, there's just so much other, so much. We have so much hockey. There's not much time in between games to really catch up with other stuff. Barely paying any attention.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, Ducks.
We don't have to pay attention.
Ducks.
It's over. Yeah, Ducks.
And now they've signed their goaltender Fast. Fash.
Wait. Yeah, let me get this straight. So you can sign like hockey players before their contract is over?
That makes no sense.
How does that even work?
I don't know. I think it's like
I saw that. I was like, "How do you do that?" I made that noise too. Sorry, but like, when's the last? Have the Avalanche ever done that?
Not that I remember.
I don't remember.
Did they extend Bork before the? No, they did after the season. I can't remember a mid-season. Somebody out there, if you have info on that, just hit us up. On Twitter, Jay's at AVSHKY podcast, and I'm at Tape Leg. Or there's a contact form at www.avshockeypodcast.com.
Nice.
I'll save the rest for later.
Right on.
Francois Beauchemin scored in that one, in that Ducks game.
In the Ducks game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bordeleau, man, he loves that penalty box.
Yeah, it's kind of a second home for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was ugly. I was just happy that game was over because I got really tired of Mike Haynes and Peter McNabb talking about Timo Solani and how great he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get it. Like, I like Solani. Solani was good, you know, and he wasn't that good here because his knee was bugging him and Korea's, you know, it didn't work out that well. And I get it. He's a good guy. I hear that from everybody. I don't doubt that. But
you've heard it from me.
The Avalanche just didn't have a chance to do anything to have those guys talk about him, so they talked about Solani most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was over that game.
That's right. This is the one that Shane O'Brien takes a hooking call and then gets an unsportsmanlike.
That was at the end of the game? Yeah. You called him a hooker.
He was a hooker. Yeah,
he's a hooker. All right. So Monday, February 11th was an interesting game in the fact that it ended quite, I don't know, interestingly, I guess is what you'd say.
This is the Coyotes.
Yeah. A lot of booing at the end of this February 11th. The Avalanche lose 3-2 at Pepsi Center in overtime. Greg Zannon with the, I'm going to go hard around behind the net, and he hits the official. You can actually hear the official like scream, like, ow, you know, and that puck went to somebody. I can't remember exactly who it was.
Kyle Chipchura.
And then went to Shane Doan.
Right in the slot.
He scored. The best way I heard it described is that referee Eric Furlot was really hoping for a post of some kind in that situation because I don't know. No official ever wants a game to end like that.
And people were pissed off at the official. Here's I'm a ref apologist, you know, but I try and see it from what happened with the ref. Why did this happen? Rather than just, this is, you know, the ref's a screw up, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Ref was in good position. He was absolutely where he should be. Zannon chose to take it to that side. If Zannon had lifted it, that off the ice rather than just kept it on the ice when he did the pass.
Well, I think it hit him around the knee or the shin. It wasn't like off the skate.
I thought it was.
We can double check that, but either way,
regardless.
Yeah.
There, you know, Zannon could have come out a little bit, but also part of the problem was nobody picked up Doan. Barry was skating for some reason. He decided to go behind the net and come around, take the long way around rather than take a short way around to get back to Doan, you know, which would have been a harder push. And there was, you know, the ref was in a good spot. And somebody said, well, why didn't he have both skates off the ground? Because they can't levitate. Well, that is not in the NHL, like, requirements. levitation does not happen.
It's a little simpler on, especially along the dash or maybe along the boards as well, that they can actually use the boards. I mean, in the corner there, it's a little tougher to lift yourself
right
up.
If you have your hands back right, and exactly. on the boards, but he's also got to be in a ready position to come yeah. out and away and start moving up ice, especially in a 4-on-4 where there's more ice, yeah. more chances for people.
You
to
don't
pass
see many
ice.
Officials do that in the corners along, you know, along the glass there, right. anyways. Yeah,
but the rules of the NHL are that the official is part of the ice.
It can't go directly in yeah. off the official.
Right.
And that's it.
But, and here's the other thing. These guys have been playing hockey for years, all their life. They know where the refs are supposed to be. They may not consciously go, oh, okay, there's the ref. I need to do this. But they know the areas that the ref is going to be in. You know, they know if there's going to be an icing, they know where to look back for the linesman to see if his arm is up. They know where these guys are going to be because they do have refs have a structure, just like baseball. You know how they move around Absolutely. And what they need to cover. It's all very structured. Ref is in the right place.
The last thing that Zanin wants or any hockey player wants is for the puck to hit the official. Mm-hmm. And the last thing the official wants is for the puck to hit them. I Absolutely. Mean, they do not. You talk to any official. For the most part, during most games, they do not want to be noticed. Sometimes they really like the attention. But otherwise, they do not want to be noticed for that type Ew. Of thing. And that was, you know, that was so anyways, that was unfortunate. Yeah. And there were a few people that kind of cried about it. But people that have followed, you know, our show for a while, I think the breaks work themselves out. And, you know.
You make your own luck.
Throughout the season, of course. And throughout the season, good and bad kicks all even out. You can keep track if you'd like to. But if you trust that's going to be the case, that's going to be the case. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, and part of the problem is that we're looking at an instant reaction on Twitter. Mm. We're not looking at, when it happened, my hand was on my head and I was just stunned. And I don't think I even moved for like a minute. I just can't believe that just happened. But we have this outlet of Twitter that, you know, we don't take the time to think it out or anything like that. It's just instant reaction. So
that was a bad night on Twitter. But the thing was, I mean, you've got that goal, and then for the people that saw the Duchesne offsides a couple games later, they understood a little bit more about that too. So,
all right, yeah, exactly. We got that. It kind of made up for it.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
All right, and then Thursday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. The Avalanche win 4-3 in a shootout against the Wild. Mm-hmm. They show us some love.
Who was in net for that one?
Did you see what I did there? Oh, God. Come on, man.
Did you do something? J.A. Chiguer was in net that night, which
he was.
doesn't get very many starts.
He's had two, and we're guessing the third will be tomorrow in Anaheim.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's the prediction. A little upset over one of the goals. Mike Rupp basically pushed Chiguer into the net. Chiguer also freaked out a little bit and then took a leave of absence after this game. Went to go visit his mom, who's very, very sick in Montreal. So it was good to do that. And they called up, who'd they call up?
Pickard.
Calvin Picard?
Pickard? Is it Pickard or Picard?
It's Picard.
Are you sure?
We'll have to ask Jory. Pickard. Hey, Jory, do you know how to say Calvin's last name?
I don't know why they call her Jory. Her real name's Angelique.
I know, but it's, okay. She knows you're talking to her. But anyways, Aaron Paluschai scores his first NHL goal. Mm-hmm. His first goal in an Avalanche uniform. He had one with the Canadiens when he was with
them. La Paluschai.
238. Anthrax Jones. A plush.
A plush? No. Plush.
Yeah, he likes that one. What's yours?
La Paluschai.
All right. So I was laughing. Actually, Paluschai had made his Avalanche debut a couple games before this. Mike Haynes kind of went into this Sesame Street type thing.
Was he singing the number song to do?
He just kind of went, so you might notice out there that there's number 17. And that number 17 right there is Aaron Paluschai. And he came from, and he was just kind of, it was kind of a weird introduction as far as like who Paluschai was and everything like that.
I think we need to talk about whether or not you like or don't like the guys in the booth, because I think you don't.
I don't mind them. I think they're okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just ready for something different. I don't think they're. I don't necessarily can't stand them or whatever, but it's been a long time with the same two guys, and I can only take so much of good hard work down low. How many times does Peter McNabb say down low in a game?
Now, I'm going to say this. I scored a goal last night.
Mm-hmm. And you were working hard down low.
I was working hard down low.
Mm-hmm. Of course you were.
Little backhander.
Of course you were.
Passed over from, Dario Dyer around zone, put it on net. Goalie kicked it out. Backhander tapped it in.
Shoots, he scores. Fist pump.
I did. And I actually did.
Then you gave Dario a lot of love, right?
Oh, man. Then he got he got a game or a goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was dude's winner, winner, chicken dinner. Of course, we lost the game, though.
You don't see those together in the same sentence very often.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
But anyways, you know, I guess every once in a while I just want to complain about something. So that's one.
You know, I think it's a valid complaint. It's just unfortunate that it has to keep being that because it's just so awkward sometimes. I want them to be a little more diverse in their call and a little more honest with us about it.
You know what, Michael? You know what, Michael? Hmm. You know what, Michael? Peter says that too. I don't know. It's not that I don't like him. It's just the same. Like, I have the same shtick every show, but this is my show, so. And I'm not getting paid for it, so I can do whatever the heck I want.
It's the same shtick. I wish they'd stop with that same shtick.
Same shtick.
But you're listening to the Avs Hockey Podcast.
You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
Okay.
That was cold.
Oh.
Tyson Barrie records his first NHL point with an assist on Milan Hayduk's second period power play goal. A power play goal by the Avalanche.
A power play.
What?
And yet, no. No goals yet at that point by Avs defensemen.
No, not at that point.
Nope.
And then you called it.
Mm-hmm.
You were Pepsi Center.
Well, we're not
there. We'll talk about that.
That's in two games.
Just slow down.
Why are you
doing hand motions? All right. So
translates to
Paluchai. We'll talk about his jersey in a little bit too.
Okay.
All right. February 16th was the end of the world for Avalanche fans. The Avalanche had a 4-1 lead. Gave up two goals late in the second period.
A 3-0 lead and a 4-1
3-0, 4-1. Power play goal by Jordan Eberle at 8:58 in the third period. Even strength goal by Magnus PRV. Sweet feed by Ryan Smith. I can say that.
Sweet feed.
Empty net goal by Eberle to seal the deal. 56 shots on goal by the Oilers. Cough. And then...
that Pelarve one, man. That was the one that really bugged me. I want to talk about that.
Of course it did. But... I think my tweet was when they scored, it was, here's my shocked face. I mean, you could see that coming.
You could see it coming, but the problem was that there was actually a defenseman that made a horrible choice.
There was a couple defensemen that made really
Ryan
bad
Smith's
choices.
Ryan Smith's coming down the right side. It's along the boards. Jan Hayda has him. Jan Hayda has Ryan Smith.
You don't get to
this
say that very often.
This should not be an issue.
Yeah.
So Ryan Smith makes a pass to the center, who's covered. And what does Hayda do? He leaves Ryan Smith to go chase the puck.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly there's two guys on the center, no one on Ryan Smith. Center puts it back to Ryan Smith, who is wide open. At this point, Hayda's completely spun around, facing the wrong way, finally getting back. Ryan Smith pass cross to the left winger and taps it in.
I think Ryan O'Byrne was the other defender who needed to play the puck at some point and kind of got caught in no man's land
But when they were coming into the zone, they were 3-on-3 man-on-man coverage.
Oh, yeah.
There was no problem here. This should have been completely neutralized.
It might have been 3-on-4. I don't know. We'll have to check the highlight.
It was
that as well. There was enough Avalanche guys there to be able to take care of that.
Last guy in that scrum to the net was Hayda. He should not have been. He should have been the first half to the net.
Still spinning around.
Yeah. And so
it was just an ugly game overall. Anyways, that was just kind of a nice. I guess it put a bow on it. Obviously,
shots on goal that game 56.
Barley had 50 saves. The Avalanche were outshot 56-29, 23-12, 15-7, and 18-10. By period, and quite simply, and what I've always said, and no matter what sport it is, if you don't play well enough to win, you're probably not going to win. Avalanche played about a period and a half of hockey in that game, and kind of what I think you said, they were protecting a null goal lead for a while. They were protecting their 5-5 lead. Yeah,
that happens a lot. They tie up, they start going into the defensive shell. They stop attacking, and you can tell when they start just punching it out to center ice, they've pretty much given up, and you can expect one coming soon enough because the defense on this team is not good enough to protect a no-goal lead.
No, not even close.
No.
Or a one-goal lead, or sometimes a two-goal lead, and sometimes a three-goal lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was pretty much the end of the world. I mean, there was a lot of fans that were... we're in that stage now where a couple wins in a row, yay, whoever's playing well, our hero, and then lose one or two in a row, fire Sacco.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. I get it, but it's not something I preach. Monday, February 18th, Tape Leg makes his debut at Pepsi Center this season. Avalanche win 6-5 versus the Preds, and he calls Tyson Barrie for the first goal from a defenseman in the on for the season from
and
the Avalanche.
Jay completely discounts it because I didn't call it on Twitter. But I said right to him, Barry. He's going to get a goal.
If you don't be the first. Call it on Twitter, though, it's not quite official.
Oh, I didn't read that rule. Damn. Uh-huh.
Well, know the rules. Hey, look, here's Hedgie. He's going to do the duck, the swimming duck. We like to watch hockey while we podcast as well. Splash. He's done nothing like that ever since.
You're going to post a video of that so that people understand what we're talking about.
I can do that.
There.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So Tyson Barry scores his first NHL goal 9.5 minutes into the first period.
Mm-hmm.
First goal by an Avalanche defenseman, like I said. That's the Avalanche were the last team to have a defenseman score a goal. And that was by like 3 or 4 games as well. So
Lalo Boluche had a monster game that game.
He did. He played very well. Although now, you know, I think he's going to be fourth line with Landeskog coming back. But that's okay. But he was wearing his jersey with the wrong 7 on it. I can post a picture or two of that as well. Had the old 7, the old Bork, Drury, Lecision 7 on it. And then when they changed to the edges, they had to change the font for whatever reason. And they had to take a little detail off to 7. And I guess the team had a kit of numbers that they travel with, and they had to put it together, that jersey, on the road.
Oh, and it was one
and
of
that's
the old
what
ones?
Happened, yeah. So they hadn't made that switch yet, so... Yeah. I actually got in touch with Denver Athletics, said, hey, is there a story behind this? And they actually hadn't even noticed. So before the game on Wednesday, February 20th, the head equipment manager, one of his guys, brought the jersey down and Denver Athletic fixed it. So I think we'll be able to see the corrected version of the jersey on February 28th. And again, stuff that most people don't care about, but I do.
Paulie Walnuts.
He did. Pretty much everybody scored for the Avalanche, including one of the worst non-offside calls you've ever seen. I think the only explanation is that a predator touched it.
Puck gets passed up ice by the Avs. A predator touched it as it went into the zone. It should have been offside, but the best explanation as to why it wouldn't be would be that if the opposing team brings it in and you're offside, it's still good. If you bring it in offside, it's bad. If they bring it in offside, it's good. But they didn't really bring it in offside.
I think the linesman wasn't sure who played the puck before the Predator touched it. I think that's what it was. And I think the Predator was Scott Hannon, your friend and mine.
Oh, yeah.
The Geico sign killer.
That Geico sign is really clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that we,
not as clean as it once was because he's been here, but...
I made a joke again about Hannon shooting on corner, and Jay said, that joke never is going to get old, is it? Said,
no. No, it's not.
Never going to get retired. So, yeah, he was, and he knew he was offside. Matt Duchene knew he was offside.
The players will always let you know.
Everybody pretty much slowed down. Nothing going as far as the whistle.
But no whistles.
He's like, well, okay, I'll shoot.
I'm going to keep going.
Sure enough.
And he wasn't quite sure whether to celebrate. He put his arms up just for a second, then put him down. He was like, what did I just do? But somehow, some way, play keeps going. He scores his goal.
Yep.
It was a pretty goal. Probably the best breakdown I saw was from Justin Bourne on Backhand Shelf. Just really funny as far as what's going on in players' heads in a situation like that, as far as they were waiting for Martin Erat's line to come out, and that was great. But he's got screen captures, he's got the video, he's got everything, so I will include that on the post with this podcast as well. And then Mike Chambers' blog, shortly after the game, he put up a post that had some reaction from Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz.
Hot to Trotz.
Longest tenured coach in the NHL right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Lindy Ruff is available. Avs, just saying.
Let's talk about that once we get out of the games, because I do want to talk a little bit.
Barry Trotz said, you know, it was obviously the wrong call. Everybody knows it, but that's how it goes in this game. You know, the officials aren't. You know, he said all the right stuff, mm-hmm. knowing he doesn't believe it, but it's the right. You know, he had the right approach to it. But then people start commenting and saying, especially Predators fans, saying Duchene should have gave the puck up.
What?
He should have dumped it into the corner.
What?
He shouldn't have scored the puck.
What?
Don't score the puck in that situation.
What?
I'm like, that's exactly. And I'm like, what is this? You know, soccer has somewhat of an unwritten rule where if a guy gets hurt, you kick the ball out of bounds and then they get the ball back or whatever. Hockey's not like that. What do you do in hockey?
Score the hockey puck.
And then when do you stop?
When the whistle goes.
When the whistle. I mean, it's pretty simple. There's no whistle, I'm going to score.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. But people got kind of hurt.
Well, yeah, of course they did, because they didn't. Okay, first off, they didn't start the right goalie, because Chris Mason gives up all 6 goals, and then their stud Pekka Rinne closes the door. That the Avs win by 1 goal.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been it. There would have, or they would have not, because just depending on, you know, you never know what from there. That's got to be deflating.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long after that goal was the next goal? It was pretty
was
quick,
that during
wasn't
the
it?
Second period? I mean, there were 7 goals in the second period. I didn't even realize that until I got home.
No, it was that the Predators scored at 10:16, and then the Avalanche scored at 11:06.
There was a couple of flip-flops like that, too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because I know Stassi's goal was pretty quick.
It was Nashville at 13:17 for Colin Wilson.
Right.
Stastny scores at 13:33, and then Jamie McGinn scores at 13:46. We barely settled back into our seats.
It was fun to watch, but it was ugly hockey.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
It was ugly hockey. It was especially ugly in the third period when things kind of clustered up and people behind us started getting a little upset. there was some coaching.
Come on.
Come on,
I like when he choked on his own. That was great.
Did he choke on his own food or something?
He did. He did something at one point. I was like, that's what you get. Stop yelling. It's annoying. Some really interesting comments as far as that goes, where Matt Duchene shouldn't have scored that, and it's
he shouldn't have scored that, but he did.
But he did, and deal with it. One goal game or not.
So there's your makeup goal.
Yes. So we're about even. Wednesday, February 20th, the Avalanche beat the Blues in overtime. Varley with 31 saves. You're going to find it for me. With his 9th career shutout, I believe. And David Jones. With the lone tally. The lone tally of the game.
We were watching a little bit of the Capitals game before this, and it was Joe Beninati and his thesaurus calling the Caps game. Oh, man, that guy's thesaurus is just ginormous.
The lone tally.
There's 35 ticks left.
Lots of ticks.
Ticks.
David Jones scored a 6th career overtime game-winning goal. This is thanks to the Avalanche Twitter feed, at Avalanche, duh. His 6 overtime goals rank 3rd in franchise history behind Milan Hajduk and Joe Sakic. Now, they didn't have overtime for
Joe Sakic. Joe Sakic has 7. Overtime
in the playoffs.
7 total. Seven in the regular season.
He has 8 in the playoffs.
He has 8 in the playoffs. He has 7 in the regular season. So Jones is only 1 behind in the regular season. Varley had 33 saves.
33. All right. And it was 30-something. And more David Jones. All 6 of his overtime goals have come since January 1st of 2011. Mm-hmm. The highest total of any NHL player during that time span. So David Jones, a little clutch.
Yep. Halak was the losing goal. He only had 20 shots on goal for the Avs.
Oh, the Avalanche again, had 2, I think it was 9-2 or 11-2 in the first period. It was not good.
It was 2-8-6 and 4.
The Avalanche played, I'd say, 1 period. They came out in the 3rd period and played pretty well, but the first 2 periods were ugly.
Hard to score when you don't put it on net.
Thank you, Varley.
That's my thing for the day. It's hard to score when you don't put it on net.
And they weren't working hard enough down low.
That I wasn't going to say, but you know what? You need to stop that. I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to slap you.
I'd like
to
see that.
Keep doing those McNabs.
You know what, Tape Leg? You bring it, okay? February 22nd, which is today. The game's in about an hour.
So basically, as you listen to this, this is already outdated. We are not.
We've already dated ourselves, but we're excited about Matt Duchene scoring. Watch Matt Duchene. Yep. Well, I'm not going to actually put it in. I'm just going to lose the puck. But anyways, Gabriel Landeskog is back. By the time you hear this, you'll know that.
Yeah, he'll probably score a hat trick or something weird like that.
But good to have him back. Hopefully he's healthy enough. People are very gun-shy about it. It didn't take very long for people to say, especially on the Facebook page, facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast, I hope he's not coming back too early. Mm. And we'll see. You know, and I guess that's a legitimate,
concern. Sure.
I guess worry, but especially nowadays with the concussions, they're going to make sure that he's going to be all right. So hopefully it's not anything more than that. It's just good to have him back, and hopefully he's healthy enough, and he's obviously going to help this team play much. They'll be better. They can't be worse with Landeskog in the lineup. I know that.
As of this recording right now, they are 3 points out of a playoff slot, 1 point behind LA. They're 12th. Not bad.
And they did a pretty good job hanging in there with Landeskog out.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Sacco has also said that he's going to play everything but the penalty kill. So that's what you'd expect.
Yeah. And also they've played 15 games as opposed to a lot of other teams played 16, 17. Even Nashville's played 18.
18, huh?
18.
Well, they haven't played very often lately. You know, they've had a couple back-to-back weeks where they only had 2 games or 3 games and it'll pick up here. They have 9 back-to-back, I think, 9 back-to-back games this year. And I believe this is the first of them. So good for them. Hey, Tape Leg.
Yo.
Is Ryan O'Reilly playing for the Colorado Avalanche?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
You could almost have that same, that web page that did Scott Gomez score?
Did Ryan O'Reilly sign yet?
Yeah. No.
Hey, what does his dad think about it? Do you think there's any way we could track down any information about whether his dad thinks it's a good idea that the Avalanche have signed him or not?
Ryan O'Reilly's
because that's what dad. I'm worried about. I'm worried about what his dad thinks about this whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah. What's his dad's name? Brian?
I don't know.
I think his dad's like Brian and he's Ryan or something like that. This guy, I remember it was kind of confusing.
Fruit fly. Damn it. Gotcha.
It's a freaking fruit fly in our in my apartment. It's killing me here.
Yeah. It's going to snow tonight. You're going to die, fly. So, yeah, I'm really worried about, you know, I like to get the latest and greatest from Ryan O'Reilly's dad about the whole situation and how he feels about it.
All right. Now that we're going to, I'm going to turn down the sarcasm knob.
Go ahead.
Who cares what Ryan O'Reilly's dad
thinks? Heck yeah. That's not news.
No. It's, you know what it is? It fills columns. It fills inches. Mm-hmm. That's about it. There's no reason to have that kicking around. And you know what? Great. You have an opinion, Brian O'Reilly's dad. Wonderful. I have an opinion too, but you know, who cares? It just, Ryan O'Reilly's dad wrote something about his son and he's apparently Ryan's being mischaracterized. Yeah.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not going to click on that. When I say, here's what Ryan O'Reilly's dad thinks about it. Mr. Miyagi?
No.
Dang. But I don't really care. But you wrote a little thing in your thin air for your blog. Or was that a full post?
No, that was the one about him, the captain.
Captain.
Ryan O'Reilly, it's widely reported that Ryan O'Reilly is a little butthurt about not having the not being named captain.
I love the term butthurt. I think you said it two or three times in that post, and that made it more winning.
He's a little butthurt about not having the captaincy. And okay. Fine. Now you're going to sign him to multiple years, be locked in, and put him on the same line as the captain. How's that going to work out? Do you really want to hire somebody? If this was a regular job, would you hire somebody who is bitter about something like that and put them in the same room as and working directly with the person who they're bitter about? It makes no sense.
Is it like well documented that he's not happy about it, or was it
nothing? None of this is well documented.
So it's not like this could be a little bit of speculation.
There could be some speculation, but he's never said no.
Okay,
and I
don't blame him. I mean, who doesn't want to be a captain?
But you know, okay, you're not. Get an A.
Yeah. Does it really matter though?
Did you get that pay raise because of it, or you know, just go out and play your game, damn it,
and be the captain? Then you'll. Yeah, I don't know.
That to me was just ridiculous. If you are going to be that butthurt about that, no, you're probably signing your own fate right there. Right. So bye. I'm sorry. But the fact that – so the Avalanche are supposedly talking to other teams, and they want a roster player, a prospect, and a pick, or just a roster player and a prospect. It's hard to say.
Again, speculation, because nobody will ever know the truth on that.
But whatever somebody gives up, they're still going to have to pay Ryan O'Reilly. Yeah, whatever his – you know, his demands are essentially, and maybe he doesn't sign with them, and who knows?
Well, some of that was another media ploy by he who must not be named, but it was the Avalanche are shopping Ryan O'Reilly. Of course, they're shopping Ryan O'Reilly. They haven't signed him, and they need to get something for him.
Yeah,
of course they are. And how was that news?
And they're hurting, and they could use Ryan O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. But you know, do people really care about Ryan O'Reilly himself, or they just want his skill? If they just want his skill, get somebody else, and that's fine. You know, it'd be great to have O'Reilly around, but. Guess what? You've got Landeskog. Duchesne has been turning it on. Duchesne has been the best player the Avs has had.
By far.
Which wasn't the case for the last year. No. It wasn't the case the year before that. So
he's been great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no he's gluten-free. You know, that's the big thing. He went gluten-free and he worked out with Sidney Crosby, but something
gluten-free would make me mad too.
Something clicked with that. Yeah, I'd play with anger. You know, I was just going to go gluten free just to be better at life. Like Matt Duchesne is better at hockey this year, but
is it working for you?
He's no, I want some pizza.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna get some pizza soon.
Yes. I will
kill that fruit fly. You got it, didn't you?
I don't know if I did or not.
Is that it? On your palm?
No.
All right. Look, this is really compelling radio.
God. All right, what else we got here? Hockey weekend across America?
We had a hockey weekend across America.
Nobody cared.
I didn't care at all.
There was free hockey cards. I came about that close to going to get free hockey cards. At Mike's Stadium Sport Cards, it's on Parker Road and Quincy.
Wow.
One of two places. That and Bill's Sports Collectibles. There's two places really to buy hockey cards really at a retail level in this city.
Wow.
So
I can't believe I missed out on that.
Turn down your sarcasm meter, please.
I can't.
Yeah. I know you can't.
You love the hockey cards.
Yeah, I do.
You just got one, what, Landeskog?
I got one yesterday. Huh?
They hacked up his jersey and...
Yeah, that's kind of it's kind of ironic that I like the jersey cards and the fact that I like jerseys so much, but...
Disgusted.
Yeah. There's a lot of jerseys to go around, though.
This was my first hockey weekend across America where I didn't really have, like, to work all day and I could do stuff, and I didn't do anything.
What was there to do besides go get free hockey cards?
I think there was, like, there might have been some things at the local rink, but that was about it.
Yeah.
But there was nothing. Who cared? Nobody cared.
Not even us.
It was basically a sit on your sofa and watch hockey on TV kind of weekend.
So every weekend's hockey weekend across America.
Exactly. At least today they're doing three. It's a triple header. Avalanche on NHL Network, which means McNabb will be relegated to the radio. Exactly where Chris Huffine likes him.
No, he'll be on. It's on Altitude as well.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Alrighty.
Oh, does that mean that we're not going to get it on NHL Network, or we get it on both?
We won't get it on NHL Network. I don't think, but we can double check. It'll be on one of those.
Here's what I want. I want to see a game where they don't call anything except for the name of the player that's getting the puck or has the puck.
I'd go with that.
Yeah. Just say his name so that we know exactly who he is if we couldn't see the numbers. And then, like, whenever they whistle a stoppage, okay, talk a little bit. You know,
that's
called for offside. And then that's it. Let's hear the game.
You know, like John Forslund when he was calling the Blues Avalanche game? You're watching Tyson Barry come through the neutral zone. Oh, okay.
I was just happy it wasn't good hard work down low.
All right.
Okay, so.
What else we got? Justin Bourne. You read a great article by Justin Bourne about the right type of sandpaper on
right.
the team.
So Justin Bourne was talking about what kind of players are actually hard to play against versus just tough guys. Justin Bourne of Backhand Shelf, former player, played AHL, played ECHL, Islanders tryout. So the guy, he didn't have an NHL career, but he knows what he's talking about.
Love
and
his
he's a good writer.
His dad played the NHL for a very long time. Yeah.
And his father-in-law, I believe, too, right?
Cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
So anyways, he's talking about what the types of tough guys are. Who's just a tough guy versus tough to play against.
Tough guys with skills, I think, were his big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that are going to actually make it hard for a forward.
For a player like him. Yeah, yeah. I know he mentioned the big heavyweights. He's like, I don't ever have to worry about heavyweights because they would kill me and they'd never fight me, so I'm not as worried about them.
Right. They may hack at him, but you know, whatever, he can move on from that. But the guys that are tough to play against, who are tough guys, they will ride you into the corner. They will battle with you. They will make and they will stay with you, and they will make your life a living hell. So I was thinking about that, and who is ours, and how does, like, our one guy like that, Cody McLeod, fit in? And that's, he's been getting a lot more, he seems more skilled this year.
He does.
And maybe that's just outcome. Maybe that's just that there's actually been production there.
Right.
He's been playing with Hey Duke, and I forget who the other guy was.
It depends. Oliver.
Oliver's been trying to play tough lately, and that's just hilarious to watch.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like throwing a plush toy at Zdeno Chara. It just bounces off, and they're like,
whittle guy.
What happened?
But then he knocks Tarasenko into next week. Tarasenko was in trouble on that hit as they showed him right after the hit. His eyes were rolled up, and they actually put him on the IR today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he didn't get suspended for that hit against the Blues.
I thought it was a good hit that he basically, Tarasenko, turned
into
too
timing.
Poorly.
Yeah, yeah. It was terrible timing. But I was interested to see if they would discuss a fine or a suspension with a hit like that, knowing that Tarasenko, you know, obviously has a head injury and will be out for a while. But that was just bad luck.
Yeah.
But, hey, maybe it made Mark Oliver look a little bit tougher. But, yeah, I think Cody Mack fits that role pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We watch him game in, game out. So I think we as Avalanche fans can really appreciate what he brings to the table.
Right.
I think teams that play against the Avalanche night in, you know, I don't think they worry near as much about Cody McLeod as they would, you know, if somebody was a little more skilled and a little tougher in that position, but he's the best the Avalanche has.
Yeah. The thing with that was the thing last year was, like, are the Avs tough to play against? And the answer was pretty much no. And the Avs would have another one if Steve Downey hadn't hurt his knee.
Yeah, and Steve Downey was somebody that Bourne brought up in the
– Yeah.
So that – losing half of that pair where people do not like playing against him night in, night out makes it tougher.
Shane O'Brien should be that guy, but he's not.
No.
Ryan O'Byrne should be or
no,
not.
No, not even close.
No. I mean, Big Sexy was not – he was not fun to watch on the game that we went to.
He wasn't big. He wasn't sexy.
None of it.
What, Hey Duke scored on – with a distinct kicking motion into his own net. It was a tough day all around for the Avalanche defense, but More often than not, I think this season you're gonna get that.
Yeah.
All right. How about Lindy Ruff?
Lindy Ruff got fired. I've been waiting for that for years. On my other podcast, The Rink, which I'm still deciding whether or not to start up again or not. Maybe next season. We'll see. The guy I did the show with for a year, Tom Luongo, he was a Sabres fan. And I would constantly say, it's time to fire Lindy Ruff. Man, come on. He's like, oh, no, he's best coach out there. He may be the best coach out there, but finally,
the best coach out there.
He lost the room. He'd been losing the room for probably a year and a half. And he lost the room to the point where, look, it's just not coming back. It's time to go. And so Lindy Ruff is available. My question is whether or not this heats up other people, other teams getting rid of their coach to make way for Lindy Ruff. If you have a coach and you're not sure and you're on the fence about firing him and you get a chance to talk to Lindy Ruff and maybe get him on your team, I would think you would push it forward.
Yeah.
So then the question, of course, becomes with the whole fire Sacco thing, would you pull that trigger?
Well, it's always been a question of mine where everybody wants Sacco gone for the most part. Who else would you want back there that you would prefer?
I don't know if Lindy Ruff would actually fit in with the Avs corporate.
I mean,
there's always
that,
you know, because the corporate message is everything's okay. It's bad luck. It's not the player's fault. It's nobody's fault here. It's just bad luck
over and over and over. Sorry, watching they're doing a thing on Gabriel Landeskog and how he got drafted. That's right.
So I mean, what your thoughts?
You know, I saw a really interesting tweet not too long after that, and I can't remember who they were talking about, which coach it was, but it was whoever this was has been coach for their team for like 84 games or something like that. They're the 14th longest tenured coach in the NHL.
Are you kidding?
That's how much turnover there was last year. I mean, if you kind of like, I was like, I never doubted that was correct, but when I started thinking about all the guys that have gotten fired and all the brand new people to the league that are now running teams, that's pretty interesting. So
look at the college coaching ranks. How long do those guys stay there? Forever.
Ever, never, never. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, you know, as a NHL coach, you're hired to get fired. Mm-hmm. And some people last longer than others.
You guarantee contracts, and this is what happens.
I mean, you can't fire the players. You say it all the time. Can't fire the players, so you fire the coach.
In the cap era, you can't necessarily bury a salary cap or cap issue, especially now with the new CBA. Not that there's been, you know, a ton of change.
Yeah.
Lost half a season for
losing your team, though, is never easy. And as a coach, like I've coached myself and I've been part of lost teams and it's rough. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I didn't realize that was. Yeah. Anyways, with that means time to move on.
Yesterday, 33rd anniversary of the Miracle on Ice.
So then there was this one time.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I saw a few tweets about it and one of my first hockey memories.
Mm-hmm.
I was old enough then to kind of realize what was going on.
Four?
I was six.
Six?
Yeah.
I was eight. I remember.
We're getting older farts. Older farts.
Things happened on the ice. That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. I always remember the blue ice because the ice was not all white, if you look. So that was one thing that I remember.
It is now because guess what? I've skated there. And it's awesome. If you ever get a chance to go to Lake Placid and skate on the Miracle on Ice rink, we rented it. We rented it just for ourselves for an hour. And
how much was that? If you don't mind me asking,
I think it was $140.
That's not bad.
It was cheap. Could you know how much it costs to do? This was a couple of years ago, but to rent the ice at the arena. There's at Nationwide Arena in Columbus. There's two surfaces. There's the arena, and then there's the practice ice. The practice ice to rent for an hour, $365.
An hour?
An hour.
Eesh. We're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was.
Were you able to bring like pucks and stuff?
Oh, yeah. No, we played. That's cool. It was awesome. We played half ice for half an hour and then the other half of the ice for the other half an hour. So after half an hour of hacking up the ice, we go to the other side and it's like clean sheet again.
Nice.
And then you've got all these kids. And this is one of the things. It's like for the difference between us and people who've been playing all their lives. All these kids came out after it was, I think, the high school team, and it's like, do you realize where you are? No. They don't care, and you know that's fine. They play there every day, and they
ungrateful
man
punks.
Ice is wasted on the youth.
Everywhere.
Sad.
Throughout nations. Every day. All right. That's, the, you know, 33 years. It's a long time ago.
33 years. I had a lot of people that I said, you know, it's 33rd year of this. And they're like, no. Yeah.
Yeah. Time flies. Yeah. Do you believe in miracles, though?
I do. Not. I didn't last night when we lost 4-2, but I think the miracle was that I actually scored a goal.
That is a miracle. But I know that's what you wanted, so we're happy.
Hey, you know, as I tried to figure out what is wrong? Why am I not? I haven't gotten anything in a long time.
Now go get another
last
one.
Night. Oh, yeah. I wish I had gotten two last night. We'd still be playing, or we would have gotten to the shootout or something.
Work hard down low.
I did work hard down low.
You ready for some hockey porn?
Hit it.
Hockey porn. I laugh before I read it out loud. Colorado expected somebody to touch it. Brian Engblom. It's, and this is a penalty, going to go against the Avalanche, a little aggressive down low. You can guess who that was. Mm. They were crashing it. They were jumping into it. They were getting involved.
Jumping into it. Now that's, wow.
Acrobatics. And my that's hashtag impressive. To go along with hockey porn was, well, good for them.
Good for them. So where are they?
You don't expect that one to necessarily go in. McGinn has been banged. Hayduk's been banged. I didn't see that during the game. Must have been between periods.
Some banging going on.
Peter McNabb. These are all Peter McNabb, by the way. The Avalanche looked there like they had pounded that one home.
Mm.
Hockey porn for you. Brian Engblom again. I don't know anybody that's faster than Matt Duchene right now. Some inside information. And John Forslund against
the Blues. It is not appropriate to say your wife.
And John Forslund against the Blues the other night. Varlamov is used to a lot of action. He's getting it tonight.
Yeah.
The Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Hashtag hockey porn.
That's what you're watching.
I was followed by hockey porn. There's a hockey porn Twitter, I guess, account now that retweets all the favorites. So thanks for that follow, hockey porn. Man, we're really moving up in the world.
We are with a classy operation around here.
Mm-hmm. That's how we do it.
Is there anything else to actually talk about Avalanche wise? I mean, we're getting to the point where we got to wrap it up. We got to get some pizza and watch this game. Yeah. I mean, the important parts, people.
I think we've covered almost everything Avalanche.
Almost everything Avalanche.
They're looking better. I'm excited to see Landeskog back out there. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a rough road without him. I think you realize how good he is. You also realize how, I don't want to say good or super solid, that Eric Johnson and Ryan Wilson are. Mm-hmm. But without them, you can obviously see the difference.
Yeah.
Without defense, I don't. You know, no matter how well Varley plays or Jiggy plays, still kind of discouraged as far as, I think everybody wants to see a Stanley Cup contender and wants to, you know, believe that this team can do big things. And
do you believe in miracles? No,
not this year.
Not that much.
it's going to be a matter of time. And it's not easy being an Avalanche fan, especially following the history.
Ryan Wilson is, in my mind, an average NHL defenseman, but there is nothing wrong with an average NHL defenseman.
Yeah, and he's better than most everybody the Avalanche have, which says a lot.
Zanin.
Oh, man.
His beard is more liked than his play.
Really. I want to laugh at his beard, and I want all that stuff, but some of the stuff that happens out there, I don't know, man.
Shout-outs?
Do you have shout-outs?
I've got a couple.
Go for it.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shout-out to Randy Kroger and Emily Robson. For hanging out at the game. They came by at Section 303, where we hang out after or in between periods, and came by and hung out. And who was it? Foot Noodles, right?
Yes.
Foot Noodles. Can't remember her real name.
I can't either, but the Twitter name.
She's short.
Yeah.
Of course, I say this to you, and everybody's short to you.
Shrek size.
But anyways, shout out to those three for coming by and saying hi.
Thanks for sure.
Hi, guys.
They were stalking us.
And shout out to Scott Thurston, who we've mentioned before, at Hockey Fool, P-H-O-O-L. And also Mike Figueroa from the Reapers Rec Hockey team. Friends of mine, Jay knows Scott. Both of them are out with injuries. Fig has a, I think, torn pec.
Oh.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it was on a pass. I'm sure it was tape to tape. I'm sure it was like dead on.
Torn pec on a tape to tape, yeah.
Dude, you know, he's got a heck of a pass. Yeah. And Scott with, I think it's a sprained MCL.
Oh, man.
So he's out for like 3 or 4 weeks.
I didn't know that.
Get better, guys.
Sorry, Scott. Scott has more time to stick the HP in his ear holes, though.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And maybe go to a Cutthroats game coming up. That'd be awesome. That'd be fun. I think there's only 2 home Cutthroats games left. Yeah, there's a lot of road games for them right now.
Oh, man.
Is it Stock Show time?
No, that was at the mid to late January.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, there's a lot of road games right now. There's only 2 home games left for the Fish.
In the regular season?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Time goes by too quick.
Well, short season. The CHL only does like 60 games in a season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You got some shout-outs?
I have 2 shout-outs. Okay. One is for Kevin O'Blocky. He got in touch with me via email and said some really nice things about the show. And he also offered me a Lyles jersey from 0607.
Nice.
But I told him I was already set. But Kevin, thank you so much for the feedback and for getting in touch. He said his goal wasn't to sell me a jersey. It was more to let me know that he enjoys our show.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Right on, Kevin. And Greg Dreschmeyer, he pulled his Avs Twitter psychic out and said, hey, what do you think about Jones during the Blues game? And went ahead and that's what Jones did. So he's actually going to be, which will be outdated as well, but he's actually at the Kings game today.
Nice.
Wearing his Landeskog jersey. So I know this is late, Greg, but...
So if Landeskog scores, we'll probably see him on...
Most likely.
Yeah.
I can't remember what color he said it was, but right on, Greg. Thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. And who else? I think we covered everything.
All right. Covered
everybody.
I think that's everything.
You ready for the spiel?
I'm ready for the spiel. I actually pulled up the site so I can actually read off what I actually need to read off here.
Right on.
Spiel
away.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast. Not that I ever do it exactly the same every time. I do it exactly the same every time. You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. Go there. Please go there because we got all kinds of cool stuff. Like Jay put up a post about the method behind his Jersey Madness continued. Another, what is that, 8 jerseys. Man.
Thanks to my friends at Denver Athletic for that.
So many jerseys. He also, you wore your new Paris
George
jersey.
Paris, yes, with your support.
It's almost like I had to force you to get it, which was insane. It's a 3rd burgundy game-worn jersey. How do you turn it down?
It was game-issued. It wasn't game-worn, but...
Good enough.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Thank you for that.
So anyways, you can go there and do that. You can listen to shows there if you don't want to listen to it on your little podcatcher. You can use things like iTunes. We have a link to the iTunes stuff there. We should put a link up to, what was that? Dog Catcher, D-O-G-G Catcher.
I think Scott likes,
which
Scott
is Thurston an Android based, podcast, client. Yeah, so we should put a link up on that on the sidebar. I'll take care of that.
Totally.
And, there's a link to get your curse word gear. I'm sporting my curse word shirt right now.
You are? Yeah.
Nice.
See,
there it is. Curse word.
The AHP. Get some.
At curseword.net, you can call in 845-704-7465. We got that action going on. And we've got links to the Facebook page, which is also at facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. Jay's on Twitter at AVSHKYPodcast. I'm on Twitter at TapeLeg, TAPELEG. And also my blog is at jerseysandhockeylove.com.
Right on. Fake AHP tweets.
Oh yeah,
for occasional snark.
Occasionally, we haven't been hitting that very often lately. It's been easy. It's been actual reason to be snarky at the Avs. So
that's what she said. Yeah, but it's hard to be snark when they're just not playing super well.
Twitter hockey porn,
but they're doing all right. Twitter hockey porn hashtag hockey porn. Check that out and check it out. Avs Twitter psychic hashtag. If you feel like throwing a just random arbitrary prediction out there and sometimes those click and it makes you look really smart. I want to thank everybody that's on the Facebook page as well. I was checking out a couple other Mile High Hockey has their Facebook page, and I know most of their action actually happens on their site, so people aren't quite as worried about their Facebook page, but that's kind of, we do most of our stuff on Facebook, and I just want to thank everybody for the activity and the likes. And you know, I've been doing some of my memes on there and just having some fun with I think it's meme what is it?
Meme. That's all it is.
The site that I use is called Meme Crunch. It's fantastic. It's really fun. But that's, I've been posting those there, and people have been hitting the like button on those. So I just want to appreciate every. I just want to let everybody know we appreciate your support and the likes and the comments there. So,
yep. And we've been doing this show for 22 years, and after 22 years,
Raymond Park. We believe in miracles. 33. scramble your brain.
What just happened? My brain hurts.
James, we haven't really made it official.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Touch the iPad. Hey, you can't grab the iPad. that. And the iPad's mine.
It's tiny. It's tiny. It's like yeah. It's like a mini iPad.
Time to go, huh? All right, we're gonna go get some pizza and watch pizza a little time. Avalanche hockey. And it'll be a couple weeks, but we'll be back in your ear holes.
Yeah.
James?
In between, pop by Facebook and Twitter and stuff and say hi. And, you know, because every like and every tweet and mention, we get, like, money. We don't get
money. We get so much money.
We get no money.
We get zero. That's sometimes the best part.
You know what? Your money.
Your cash money.
Hard cash money.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
See you in a, we'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks. And until then, watch this, though, because James thinks he's done, but I'm going to hand off the, you know, the farewell that I always do. I'm going to hand it off halfway to James, and we're going to do it just like Ray Bork and Joe said. It's going to be awful. Would it be better if I just dropped it on you cold?
Bring it. Bring the thunder. All right.
Until next time, take care.
Let's go Avs.
And we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast.
Raven Borg!